Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, is this a starting now?
Well, I would like to have a clean start instead of us just being like, well, I don't know if this audio is plugged in. You sound like a robot. Let's speaking of robots.
Speaking of robots. They're not robots, they're
synths.
Synths, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
They're keyboards that make fake music.
And oh, what a melodious song they sang. So this was a movie that several people are very excited about.
Predator Badlands. By the way, I want to get this on the record immediately. I watched the movie. Mm-hmm. I looked at some Letterboxd. I texted a few people, and apparently I'm wrong about everything, and I'm okay with that. I'm excited to be wrong today.
Oh,
and maybe you'll be wrong with me, or maybe you'll tell me the ways in which I'm wrong.
Okay.
But
don't spoil it yet, because I just want to tell you.
How did you feel about the movie?
I just want to tell you, I did mm-hmm. not see your Letterboxd, and I haven't put anything on Letterboxxd. So,
my Letterboxd was kind of vague because I watched this movie like a day and a half ago, and I'm still not entirely certain I've decided whether or not I like it. So I didn't really put much in there other than my review says all the creatures in this movie either sound like pugs or look like them.
Yeah, my personal opinion, after mm-hmm. having just watched this, is that this is very expensive, very high production value fan fiction. And
I mean, yeah, but like the Predator is often extended universe land has been for since Alien vs. Predator stuff. So that's just where it lives now, isn't it?
No. Well, remember the director of this movie, Dan Trachtenberg, made a big splash when he did Prey, which we have reviewed on this podcast before, which stripped everything back to just like a very simple situation. And there was a human element. There was predator element. There was stuff going on that was just like very, it felt more grounded. And this movie,
I forget, did Prey actually take place on Earth, or was that sort of like alternate Earth humans?
I mean, that was Earth, but it was in the past.
Right.
And also not with, you know, like colonial European American humans.
They retcon reconnected it to the like the ancient pistol thing from the second Predator, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I remember that?
Yeah, which is a flourish that doesn't super duper matter, but apparently that was the little idea that he had that spun out the rest of that. But the important part was you had her and you had the stuff and it was interesting. This is going back to all of the things and kind of like picking up where Shane Black left off, which you're just like, what the, why are we doing that?
We're going back to space. No, I mean, hang on. I have to type picking up where Shane Black left off. We're going back to space, and we're gonna flip it. The Predator is now the protagonist of our story, and we're gonna learn about them and their culture and their families and stuff.
I have some terrible news. Their predators are really boring. I have to just put this out there into the world. They are interesting as long as you know very little about them and do not have to think about how their society would possibly work.
Yeah. Well, okay, so this gets, I mean, maybe I'll do my little bit of a speech up front here, and then I can prepare to be wrong or corrected for the rest of the thing. And I understand what this movie is doing, and it does it well. Like, don't get me wrong, the execution of this movie is very nice, and it's very pretty, especially in the beginning. But I just don't know that this is a story or a theme that I needed in the Predator universe. Like, I get that they're doing the whole, like, spoiler alert, you know, the whole lone hunter thing, lone hunter bad, you know, teamwork is what really is the friends we made along the way. The real predators are the friends we made along the way or whatever. But, like, This story feels like the kind of thing that, as I said in a text message to someone, if you pitched this in the 90s, they probably would have said, F you, loser, and punched you in the face. Get out of here. Like, we're making a movie about the littlest predator and how like it's okay to be tiny in this world of, you know, alien Spartans, because really you don't have to stand on your own. Like there, you can ask for help if you need it. Like it's an okay thing to do. And it's just like, I understand those, like bringing those modern themes to a franchise that already exists. I just don't know that needed to be a Predator thing. Like it just, I know that Predator doesn't need to continue its like alien toxic masculinity thing into the modern era, but like that is what Predator is. And it just feels weird to go like, haha, you don't actually need to do that. If you put your trust in friends, then you can be the real leader of the wolf pack tribe person or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It something about it just seems like they took the Predator franchise and they're like, how can we flip it on its head? And it's like, yes, this is a way you can do that. But I don't know that you needed to. Like, it's a good movie and everything, but it feels a little peculiar.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. It's very simplistic. So it makes me question who the target audience is for this, because Predator movies are targeted at people in their 30s and 40s to maybe 50s. Like, it is... And it mostly a male audience. And so you'd be like, oh, this is ideal for delivering a message about toxic masculinity and how you can like have friendship or whatever. But the way that this is done is for a younger age group in terms of like how what the sort of like a smoothed over like very, very simple stakes and like everything just becomes very...
Oh, that's interesting. You think the family storyline kind of moves it into sort of like a teenage coming of age kind of theme?
Right. It does. I mean, it literally is his coming of age story. And also the thing that fleshes him out is our synth, Elle Fanning, who is doing a tremendous job in this movie, physically, acting-wise, her choices, everything. But the thing is that the way she talks to him is the way you would talk to a child about these concepts.
Well, she's a synth, so she's hundreds of years old or something, right? I mean, we don't have any. Does she say... No, she doesn't say how old she is. He asks, like, how long she's been there or something, and it's been a while, but...
Yeah, it's how long... Basically, how long the mission has been and how long she was in that, quote-unquote, vulture's nest of 13 days. But the... her analogy that she uses to win him over on the importance of teamwork and friendship is the wolf. And this is like a story you would tell a child. And so,
well, it's also like literally one of the stories that, or one of the analogies people use for these like dingling men's rights people who are talking about being like, you know, leader of the wolf pack or whatever. And it's like, no, wolves are actually, it's the other way around. Like we're literally telling them that the metaphor that they use to build their toxic masculinity is incorrect in the hopes that maybe that sinks in, which whatever, it's fine. But like, that's what she's doing.
I can promise you 100% that was the intention, but that it will 100 million billion percent not map to anyone's opinion being changed because of the way this is delivered in this, because
they're gonna buy even more Punisher stickers for their trucks after this movie.
Yeah, they just walk out of the movie and go, oh, Predator's woke now. Like, it doesn't...
I was saying when I was trying to make my argument in a text message, it sounded to myself like I was saying Predator turned woke or something, and that's really not what I'm trying to say. I don't have any issue with any of the themes in this movie. It just seems incongruous with Predator and whatever. If you want to do it this way, like the way we're discovering, this is how we're getting into the Predator's world. Like, this is really the first time we've seen the Predator's culture, or, you know, home life, whatever you want to call it, shown on screen like this. And I just don't know that this was the way I would have done it. Like, my example, which was a bad example because it's the only thing I could come up with at the time, is like, the Predators are kind of like alien Spartans. So like, what would the 300 version of this movie have been? Like, it would have been, you know, the dudes with the Punisher stickers on their trucks would have been way more aroused by it, because it would have been self-serious and like, you know, more glorifying violence and, again, the toxic masculinity. But like, that in my brain is what the Predator is supposed to be. Like, that sort of like traditional, you know, the the not violence, but the fighting and the military aspect of their culture is like their being. And again, I realize I'm making the point for why the movie is doing what it's doing, but that's what I would be curious to see what that sort of movie is like in the Predator world. And we just immediately went to the opposite of that.
I think the flaw is that their society makes no sense. So for you to have any discussion with them, like as in character, in the storylines, if you were to have any discussion with a Yautja, also I've never heard Yautja so much in my life, but if you have a discussion with a Yautja, you have to have this conversation about things on a very childlike introductory scale. Because they don't have those concepts to build on. There is no, in this universe, there is no like group of them that live totally normal lives somewhere else on their planet or somewhere else on another planet. And they have
with mountain thing where everyone was living except for the outcasts. I don't know what's going on in there.
Right. Well, that's my point is like, we don't, everything is so militarized and codified in this particular way. It's like, what if the entire planet, to go back to your 300 thing, what if the entire planet Earth was just made out of Spartans? Like, then how would you explain to them that their society was ridiculous or win over anybody's hearts or minds? Because there exists no basis or other concepts in which to have discussion because your whole society and culture is completely absorbed thoroughly across a global scale into something else where you haven't even encountered differing opinions. Like, I don't know why
you're saying basically that the Spartans don't make any sense in a world that is full Spartans. Like, they have to have Athenians nearby to reflect their culture back at them or something.
Yes. And all, well, yes, because that also makes the tension of like who defining who you are and who you are not. And the Yautja, the predators, they define who they are by the fact that they are predators and that everything else is prey. And that's literally the words that are on the screen at the beginning of the movie.
And they have spaceships and they travel and hunt and stuff. So it's like, I don't know, they've at least had the ability to go hunt on other, like the universe is their world, not just the planet, I guess. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying though.
Yeah, but that's one of those, it's just one of those flaws where it's like, when they invite us to think deeply about predators as these kinds of characters with this inner universe of choices that are opened up to them by simple concepts, like then it's just kind of uninteresting. And it just becomes about the action in the movie. And so like, this is a very nice looking action movie. And it's interesting in that regard, but it's just like story-wise, whenever you have to like sit with what it is that our main character, our protagonist, is supposed to be feeling or thinking, I don't connect with him on any level.
Is that because you're in your 40s and he's ostensibly a child?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is so simple and so ridiculous, and it's not done in the way like, this isn't targeted at winning over anyone's opinion on anything, really. But it just takes those concepts of trying to debate someone and then turns it into this, which is sort of like a just weak sauce funhouse mirror version.
You don't think it's aiming or capable of reframing Predator and changing minds? I mean,
I think
whether media or not can do that, I guess, is another question.
I think if you were a child who was watching this at an inappropriate age to see this, then you might have an impression from watching it. But like on an adult scale, like for the target audience of this, like I don't think that the way that this is written connects.
I mean, it's PG-13, so maybe it's, the target being younger, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's also one of those things where I find myself thinking like, well, is the original Predator one of those movies that like unintentionally boosted like people signing up for the army because they're like, hell yeah, I want to play with guns and shoot aliens in the forest or whatever, or are we giving you know, a movie like Predator too much credit for actually influencing the minds of people, and it didn't necessarily really corrupt people into this sort of toxic, I want to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of thing, because it is a ridiculous movie.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what effect it, I truly have no idea what effect it had, but because like we were little babies, but when we saw it, like, I don't know, the impression that I got was never that the army stuff was the cool stuff. That it was mainly this survival story.
Right. It was learning how to outsmart being outgunned or whatever, and learning how to, whatever, use your resources to outsmart it and survive and to achieve victory or whatever. But it is still a story about, you know, whatever. It's a very Joe Rogan story about being like prepared for when your time comes to have to fight for your life or whatever.
Yeah. I know that it has an effect on people that has not been positive, because like, if you go back to, the things that interest the kind of like toxic masculinity kind of stuff, like even before we even had that term, like a long time ago, there were all these like Predator comics, Predator versus Alien comics, Predator versus Alien versus Batman, like all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, yeah, beat 'em up, cool stuff. And like, this is more of that, where it's like Weyland-Yutani synths from the Alien universe, and we're fighting the, you know, we got the stuff with the Predator and stuff's happening and stuff. But it's just like, I don't, that saying that this is against toxic masculinity, like we're interpreting that way, like the movie literally doesn't say it, but thank God Elfanning doesn't turn to the camera and say, this is about toxic masculinity, which would have been funny. But I don't know. And so I'm not like mad at this movie, but I also don't understand the enthusiasm. Does that make sense? Where it's just like,
yeah, I think I'm in the same place. I'm still sort of, again, why I'm making my mind up about it is, it's a beautiful movie. It has some very cool action sequences. There's some unique stuff in here that they're doing, but you know, it's still an action movie with aliens fighting each other and stuff. And it's just, again, I see what they were doing. It's just I don't know. Like when you get to the end of this movie, like he rejects his father's wishes or whatever, and says, you know, I'm better than you anyway, because I know how to ask for help and I have friends and stuff, instead of being the loner, warrior dude. But like at the end of it, he's still a predator, and like, they're trying to pivot it or whatever, but like what does his life look like from here on out? Is he no longer, a sport hunter or whatever that travels the universe trying to prove that he can take down anything out there? Like that's, even if it's not like something to prove, it's like, that's just their culture, is like seeing, can you hunt a thing? Like they're hunters, they're sport hunters because that's what they do, whether or not they survive or are killed by the alien thing they're hunting is part of their whole thing too. But like, they're okay with that. Again, the whole Spartan glorious death stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I see how we got with so many things. I see how we got here. I'm just not sure that I really cared to go here. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and this is what I'm saying. It gets back to the same thing I was saying about the movie's themes, where their society, like even in terms of plot, it's simply does not make sense. Like,
yeah.
There is no way that you have this whole thing and it works and people go on living, but whatever. If you accept,
I mean, the other thing that I wrote again in a text message when trying to flesh this out is, the Predator's heart grew three sizes that day. And it's like, that feels like what this movie is. It's like, oh, he's the Grinch, but now he has friends. He made a friend with a who.
Yeah, and he made a friend with a shoulder pet because he didn't have his laser, and he made a blade from the grass. And
the lizard, what is it? It was spitting acid or something.
Yeah,
the shoulder lizard was very funny to me, the way he's like cosplaying Predator armor.
Yeah, well, but let's get back. That gets back to the fanfic thing that I was saying. Like this, this movie what he's doing is not like survival. What he's doing is in many ways comedy, like, and like fist pumping, like, yeah, bad. Well, I was going to curse, but action, you know, that
it's kids that don't have real predator armor. So they go out in the backyard and they tape a stick to their wrist. So they have razor gauntlets.
We have predator armor at home.
Exactly. Yeah. I made Wolverine claws out of paper and taped them to my hands when I was like 6 years old.
I mean, who among us hasn't played with a cardboard box?
Truly.
Mm-hmm.
And pretended it was a spaceship taking you to an alien planet to kill a, I already forgot the name of the pug dog monster.
Yeah. Kallusk.
Kallusk.
Yeah, which, again, another thing is just like, why? How does everybody know that word? And know that they need to get this thing, but doesn't,
well,
know what the baby is.
It's renowned throughout the universe as a fearsome alien that can't be killed because it regenerates very quickly.
Yeah, it just raises a lot of questions.
Apparently not Thea, Thelma, whatever the other one was, saw Terminator 2, so
yeah,
please blow it up.
Tessa,
there you go.
Yeah. Well, that gets back to another thing. A lot, and, you know, I don't know if this is going to make some people grumpy, because, like, oh, the action's cool. And it's like, it is cool if you've also managed to never see any other action movies in the last 30 years.
Like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
You've never seen a Marvel movie, and we're just like, yeah, that's, you can design cool, intricate things and, you know, use the cave, use your environment to your advantage, whatever.
Well,
there's
like
interesting stuff to still be done, but
like the loader fight. It's like we have seen a loader fight. We've seen it in Aliens. We've seen it reproduced again in other forms, including in another like universe, quote unquote, where James Cameron did the same thing again when he was doing that first Avatar movie. And in many ways, a lot of this movie is like, hey, what about Avatar? And it's like, that was also creatively bankrupt. So why are we aping Avatar? So yeah, the company is there.
Are there other Avatar references in here that I glossed over?
Well, the company is there
just
with their
weird aliens,
rapacious little like camp that they've set up to take all these things and exploit them. And they've got their loader, and they've got the like alien life on the planet that, you know, kind of like this.
I mean, what do colonizers do when they travel to another planet except just try to kidnap and take, you know, the native wildlife and use it for their own purpose? I mean, that's from that goes all the way back to Alien, right? Like, that's the whole point there.
I mean, it goes back further than that, but it's one of those things where it's just like, this is so like broad and also has been done that I don't quite know why we did it again. Like, it all, what I'm saying, yeah, Dan, is it all goes back to Fern Gully, last rainforest.
Everything is Fern Gully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Fern Gully, to be honest with you.
Oh, you wouldn't like it now. I will say that it is disappointing to view it as an adult. But I love
Fern Gully.
Yeah.
Oh, Fern Gully. Wait, Fern Gully, the Last Rainforest. Is this the real? Yeah. Okay. 1992. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if there had been sequels and remakes and things.
Oh, I think there probably were. Rush out and see it. But anyway, so what I'm saying, again, just to go back to it, this movie was fine to see it. Like, I don't feel like I wasted my time. I'm not angry at anything, but I also at the same time will not be thinking about this ever again. It will wash out of my brain, and
it's
that's
funny.
Fine.
A lot of the people I looked at the people I follow on Letterboxd to see what their opinions were, and a lot of them were like, best movie of the year, whatever, and like, this was so much fun. And I saw one that was like a bit overhyped, but it was fun, and I was like, yeah, that guy, we're on the same page over there. But like, that's kind of where I'm at still. Like, yeah, cool. I mean, it was a good movie, I guess, but I just, I don't know, I didn't I didn't emotionally resonate with it because, I don't know, maybe because I'm on too many protein powders and I'm just, you know, training for kickboxing and it just didn't hype me up enough or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to feel like I'm some sort of men's rights incel because this movie didn't like click with me or something. Like, I get the theme of you don't have to be King Leonidas to like have an identity of your own, but also choosing the Predator franchise to make this sort of message, it's just, it feels weird.
Yeah, well,
I know you can't really just like make up a franchise like Predator on your own. They couldn't have made this story with like a new world. Like, the Predator is giving us a lot of backstory here, like a lot of like stuff to build on top of, so that's why we can pivot like this. You can't just start really from scratch and have it be a successful, probably.
I'll push back on that. You can start from scratch, but no one will give you money to do that because no one will show up to watch an original property that does exactly what this movie does. Like, if you literally just changed all the names and like some styling and things and put this movie out there, like I said, it is also unfortunately not terribly original. So it would just not succeed on its own merits, more than likely. So it does need to lean on the franchise, which, like I said, it doesn't make a ton of sense. And if I was doing, if, you know, not that I am in any way successful or will ever be in this position, so I'm just going to like backseat drive for a second, backseat screenplay, right? What I would say from the, like an outline stage, if I was going all the way back, would be like, hey, what is it, if we wanted to talk about toxic masculinity and predators, what are the frames we could use? Like, you have this as a coming of age story, but then the message becomes juvenile. And it's like, is that what you want? Or do you want to have this as something where we're framing the Yautja society in a certain way where there's differing opinions or changes in opinion among Yautja? Like, if there had been a clash where one guy was like, you're weak sauce and you're, I'm the predator facemonger, where facemonger or whatever, where they're going to like fix max their predatorness. Like, if they had them like actually opposing each other in the movie, instead of just having this guy go off to prove himself on his own.
I mean, that's kind of the end, right? Like, he
defeats the
king with his pals / ingenuity,
right? But that's just an action fight. Like, it's not a, that's not story, that's not him like mentally combating any ideas that are internal to the predator culture. He has won that fight in his own mind and has just killed his father, but nobody was won over, or nothing was changed. He didn't like break the spell of toxic masculinity with predators.
Well, now he's the king and he's going to change culture through legislation, the correct channels.
Well, no, not if his mother has anything to say about it.
Was that the fastest mid-credit scene that's ever existed?
No, I mean, you kind of have to do it that way because it was a punchline to what they were doing. I don't know why he wanted to end the movie on a punchline, but like, that was the joke.
The next movie in this installment is going to be an all-female reboot of Predator starring Kristen Wiig.
Well, I don't know that they will ever revisit this. Despite its success, they might just keep doing one-offs, because what would you do, like, if you kept going with this idea?
I mean, supposedly he's got one more in the chamber that takes place after this, but they haven't greenlit it or anything yet. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he also has that animated movie.
Is the mom going to show up and be like, thank you for breaking the toxic king masculinity spell? I've been trying to get through to him all along, but he doesn't listen to me. So let's reshape predator culture in a new, healthy way. And now it's like Asgard or something. I don't know.
No, see, I think, unfortunately, his mother's a trad wife.
You think she's gonna have to like fight his mom, but doesn't want to hit the mom?
Yeah, she has very conservative views that are very regressive. I don't know,
she came from a different place. I don't know that she cohabitates with Dead King.
Eh, Yeah. I don't know. He seemed like kind of a loser.
are you kidding me? You see how mask maxed he was? He was very cool armor and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He also like lived in a shanty.
It was a very large shanty with a lot of other predator men.
Yes, which is a normal thing to do. It's a weird.
He spends all of his time growling and sharpening his laser sword.
Well, he wasn't like out on the hunt or anything. Which again, it's just like, what is this society? Like,
yeah.
Do you? It would be kind of funny though. Like, you show up and he's not home. Like, how do you reliably predict that he's going to be there?
He's on a hunt in another galaxy. He'll be back in a couple of weeks, or he'll be dead.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe once they pass their coming of age thing and they get their cloak, then they just like park it in their shanty. And
I mean, that's the other thing, right? Like from Predator 2, we've seen that like there is a society here. There's like a group of them that travel together, because we saw at the end that, you know, there's that sort of like royal guard that like, you know, tell Danny Glover, good work or whatever. You're a hunter too now. But there's really no like there's no military aspect to the Predator culture that we've seen. That they all just do this on their own to prove their own strength. And it could be like, to what end, like to prove that you're worthy to be part of the Predator army or something. But like, we don't know any of that. And we didn't get any of that really in this, other than like, you know, a lot of them live in a hut and are, you know, take their place in the clan or something.
Yeah. I want you to just do a little mental exercise and think about how do they get spaceships? How do they get weapons?
Well, that's the other thing too. Like looking at this culture, it's like the Predator's technology is fat. Like, who's making the technology? Where is this coming from?
Yeah. Cause see, what I always thought was like, is it just like Mad Max where they were a technologically advanced society and then everything collapsed. And so they're just using the spare parts of that once great, a technological society, or do they steal them from someone else? But like, everything seems the same.
I mean, that could be interesting. Like, your society collapsed and you had to become this sort of, you know, incredible hunter in order to survive and to go get the resources you need. But yeah, like, I would say they would be stealing them from other, like, you know, trophies in addition to the skull. Like, maybe I'm going to take your technology with me.
Yeah. See, what you need to do to really confront toxic masculinity and colonialism is to have a Predator movie where they explore how they resupply by raiding other people and threatening them in a very, you know, like, say, Trumpian fashion. Just be like, oh yeah, we're gonna blow up your stuff, we're gonna knock over your society. This is our hunt. We deserve all of this. Like, do that. Like, I don't know. You want to have some message about like what's bad? Like, I don't know. What do you want to do? Like that? Or you want to say, oh, well, let me explain the concept of wolves to you.
Yeah. I just, I don't know that you're ever, at least for me, I apparently it was successful for other people. I just don't know that you're ever going to bridge that gap. I don't know that there's a story that is going to take the Predator and flip it and say, like, actually, we don't need to be these sort of lone, you know, universe's best hunter on my coffee mug kind of guy. Like, I don't know that there's a way to like flip that in a way that works for me. And maybe I'm just, again, maybe I'm an old man stuck in my ways and full of toxic masculinity, but I don't think I am.
No, but I think what is so attractive about the first movie and what is so attractive about Prey is that it's very stripped back and you don't have to think about these things. Like, it's not about their society. It's not about like what they think or feel.
It's about being prepared and strong enough internally to fend off any sort of dangerous alien that may wander into your territory and wish to do you harm.
Because, the movies are really about the prey. So
I think the smaller stakes of it, I guess, makes it usable. Because if it's like, we're outgunned, but we got to come together to stop this predator from destroying our entire planet or society. Like, it's not It's not that. It's just like this one predator wants to kill this one person because it views you as a worthy, you know, bass fish that it wants to catch, to use the bad pun from the other movie that had Olivia Munn in it. it's not really like there's not a larger scope to it other than this alien is out hunting one day and it picked you and you got to try to survive.
Yeah. When you strip it back to just a specific survival scenario, and it is not about like trying to think about these things, then it's interesting, because you're watching them do novel stuff. Like one of the most memorable things about the first movie is when he puts that mud all over him because he realizes that it prevents the predator from seeing him. Like,
yeah,
that just like that kind of thing is interesting. But it, when you start getting into like conversations about Yautja and like how tools work that they have and like which, you know, ship they came from and like all this kind of stuff in the clan and things, it's just like, okay, we are in deep on stuff that doesn't matter. And when you have him, when you have a predator in these movies fighting a large contingent of people, like in this movie where he's taking on like all of those synths, played by someone who doesn't seem capable of acting, but looks very handsome. Like when you have that happen, it doesn't mean anything and they just become like fodder. Like there's no threat. At no point in this movie was I was like, oh yeah, this protagonist is in any danger. I didn't think Elle Fanning was in any danger.
Well, he almost died from the exploding stick things, except he let go of his ego long enough to let Elle Fanning save him.
But that was so predictable. That was the beginning of the movie. He wasn't going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, you know.
So it's just like the stakes are basically like these two, you know, Elle Fanning and our deck are just going to like roll through this movie and crush everything. And that they'll be delayed by things that get in their way. But like they don't. There is no real threat of loss because you know that the story is that they are better together. And so they have a team. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just becomes action. And then it's just like, okay, well, whatever. Like shoot them, punch them. Like one hit to the face for those synths. And then like 50,000 hits are needed for Elle Fanning synths.
Yeah. Yeah, they're extra strong smart synths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, another thing. When the whole thing's going on in that camp and we're supposed to be paying attention to like them sleuthing around and and just like ruthlessly destroying all of these like single point, like one health point synths that are wandering around. When we're supposed to be paying attention to that, my mind started wandering and I was just like, what did Elle Fanning really do here? Like when like Tia was like wandering around, like she said she worked in the lab and it's just like, doesn't she know some of these guys? Didn't they chit chat? Like why? There's no friction in just like the mass slaughter of all of those synths. So it's just like, how are you supposed to feel anything? There's no conflict in terms of emotion. They're just like toasters that you knock over. And it's just like, well, then how did she formulate any of her thoughts or feelings in order to defy her programming? Because seemingly
where did Thea's morality come from?
Yeah, because like all she does, she was in the lab and she is enamored by Tessa, and Tessa seems to have no personality, and all of the other synths seem to have no personality or inner desire or inner life or anything. And so it's just like, how did Thea happen? And like,
yeah, we didn't
why
even
not...
see a little cut scene where she's like in her bunk at night, like watching movies from the 1950s and learning, like watching It's a Wonderful Life and realizing it's her favorite movie and stuff.
Yeah. It's just like, she doesn't really go on a journey. She's just like, oh, sorry, I'm doing my job. And then she's like, oh, my job sucks. I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, there's no, she doesn't have even like, remember when we watched Romulus and what's his face? He had that conflict of like whether or not he should keep doing what the company wanted or whether or not he should help his friend.
Yeah, it took me a minute to remember what Romulus was.
The
synth, right, for sure.
Yeah, and so it's like
that you had Ash there as the sort of the Tessa.
Right. But I don't know. I think we've poo-pooed on everyone long enough, and they're going to be so angry if they haven't stopped listening.
I'm not trying to poo-poo on the movie. It's still a good movie. It's entertaining. Yeah. It's just, you know, it didn't land for me with the way it apparently landed for other people.
There is a quote from Aretha Franklin that I think about all the time, where she was in an interview, and the interviewer asked her what she thought about various singers, and then the interviewer asked about Taylor Swift, and she said, great gowns, beautiful gowns. And that was what she said about Taylor Swift as a singer. And I always think about that because it is one of the best ways to insult without you know, saying something negative is that you just compliment them on something else that has nothing to do with what you're being asked to comment on.
The opening scenes in this movie, like not the little metaphorical slightly bigger lizard eats the tiny lizard and then a bigger lizard eats that one and gets run over by the predator, the scenes where they're like he's doing the brother hunt, whatever, like in the caves and stuff, mm-hmm. the vistas, it's very pretty, it's very cool looking. I actually, you know, I may have made a noise to myself saying like, wow, that looks really cool. It wasn't the whole movie like that, but it's a very beautiful movie.
What is the noise that you make when you say to yourself that that was cool?
I may have made an Owen Wilson wow noise.
Wow.
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 I don't think I made any noise in particular, but I did remark to myself, like, yeah, that's pretty cool looking. And again, it's like, you know, cool action scene cinematography stuff, like right up front to really hook you in. By the way, we didn't get a single heat vision mask view in this movie. Is this pre heat map mask technology? What's going on here?
No, I mean, they have it because this is the future. So maybe what happened is they ran out of all the masks in their society because they keep getting destroyed. So we don't have the heat vision. Yeah, because they don't have scientists. I mean, they don't have STEM, Dan.
Yeah,
they don't have predators who grow up the STEM.
You don't need it. All you need is a spear and a shield and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know they wanted to probably keep the mask off the face as much as possible so you can have some more emotional connection with the character and, you know, see the look on his face and stuff, but didn't get a ton of predator technology, to be honest with you, aside from laser swords.
Yeah, but I think that was kind of the point when they, because they showed the technology and then they took it all away. Because they want to.
I mean, they didn't show the view through the mask. They show them wearing the mask, but they didn't show what it did. They didn't show really any blasters, like minimal blasters.
Yeah, I mean, also, well, maybe part of the reason for that is when Tessa stole the blaster, she stole the slowest blaster that's ever existed, the slowest, most defective blaster. Because that was every time you'd see it, it would just be like, "Here are the three laser dots," and it's like, "Okay, are you going to shoot or what?" Like. Shoot or get off the pot. Like I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, she was doing it for dramatic effect, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, it was tactically unsound, as we saw by her untimely demise.
Well, she didn't. I don't know how did she die? She already forgot. She was in the belly, and then she blew up the mother pug, and then what happened?
Yeah, she Terminator 2'd the mother pug, and then she. Stood there staring at Thea and laser pointering her saying that, you know, that she's going to shoot her. And Thea's like, we're not sisters. And then very dramatically, she gets stabbed from behind by the predator with his stabby tooth wrist gauntlet thing, and then the little baby pug, pug monkey, rips off her head and holds the skull and spine aloft.
Oh, right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Traditional Mortal Kombat-ing.
Well, I was going to say more of an acknowledgement of the, I would say Predator 2, where he's like holding stuff. And anyway, it's a thing where you have slain your target.
Yeah, I think they made a reference to it earlier in the movie, mm-hmm. About tearing your spine out or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I need my spine. It's not great. Maybe I could swap it for a new one, but it's useful.
I could use a fused disc or two, maybe.
Mm-hmm. What you really need is one of those like little stapler arm, like hand baton things that she had when she was in the truck. Just have that go to work on your back. That'll be great. Also,
I don't know about like robot surgery.
No. Also, did it raise any questions for you that her legs are fully autonomous? I know they tried to make it seem like she has a control over them because of the little orange routing thing that is stuck to her neck, and she put it on the legs first to activate the two of them to act as a Bluetooth pairing device, I guess.
Yeah, it was like a homing beacon or something, almost like letting you know where the legs are. But you know, computer chips are cheaper in the future. You can put chips in each leg, in each foot, whatever, so they can be like Iron Man 3. His little pieces of armor can all fly around independently.
Yeah, but then it's just like another Shane Black masterpiece. But then it's also like, how does it see where it's going? how does it see how to like vault off of a surface and then like scissor off someone's head?
It's just the legs are just a really advanced Waymo kind of.
Ah, yes, yes.
All right,
Have Waymo will travel.
We've beaten the story to death. Is there anything action wise that you really found cool, or like setting wise? Like, I don't know. Did you enjoy the razor grass or other things?
I mean, it was interesting. It was
the tree vines that attacked everybody.
I did not like the tree vines. That we've seen vines that attack people a lot, and it just raised a lot of questions about where do the vines go, especially when they put it in a box at the end. And it was just like, where is the rest of it? what is this? Anyway, whatever. It was interesting. Like, I don't have any faults really with the production design. I liked when the little pug monkey spit on him. That was fun.
And then later he spit back on him, saying, "We're pals now." But nobody spit on Elle Fanning.
No.
It's probably in her contract, not allowed to spit on her.
No, I think that would have sent the wrong message about toxic masculinity.
You know, if they would all done it in the same scene, you know, like where they would, you know, you cut your hands and then shake hands to become blood brothers or whatever.
Yeah, saliva sisters. Don't write that down.
Oh dear. That's gonna be the audio clip we pull from this one.
If only we were that ambitious. I don't know. You said the beginning was spoke to you. Anything else? Yeah.
I spent a lot of time trying to come up with a rearranging chairs on the deck of the Yautja pun, but I could not come up with one. But just like they really had to do deck of the Yautja not yet three times, you know, three times for comedy, of course, as you like to say.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I his name had no bearing, and I'm not sure I'm going to remember it, because the thing I will remember is Yautja, because, again, truly must have said it like 500 times in this movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how did you forget? I mean, just relaxing on the deck of the Yautja, you know, taking a cruise, enjoying our time on the deck of the Yautja.
Are you using Yautja like as a yacht?
Yeah, it's a boat.
Oh,
it's a carnival boat.
It's a carnival boat.
Yeah.
Relaxing on the deck of a carnival boat.
Carnival Cruise Lines.
Carnival Cruise Lines.
Yes.
Yes.
The Yautja is a Carnival Cruise Lines boat, is the thing that I am saying to you.
Okay. Well, I mean, it has an appropriate level of violence, I suppose, for carnival cruises.
Is Carnival the one where people fight?
I have seen some video snippets of people getting into combat.
Which is the one that people keep falling off of?
I don't know. I mean, I know there was one when we went on our cruise to Alaska. Someone, I think it was like the week after or something like that, or the same week, some guy, his daughter went overboard. She's fine. And it was Disney Cruises, and they rescued her. Big to do. She's safe. And the reason why it happened was because the dad put her on the edge so she could see out at sea. And so you'd be like, because if you've ever seen a boat, you'd be like, wow, there's a lot of railings here, a lot of ways for people to not fall off of it. How could that happen? And the answer is you very, very, very stupidly put yourself at risk in order to fall off a boat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although, to be fair, my kid is currently a big fan of me lifting him up and like resting his stomach on the top of the wall in our backyard so he can look out into the street behind us.
Okay.
I am holding him by his ankle, and there's no way he could flip over, but, you know, he likes to do that.
Well, have you ever considered going on a Disney cruise, Dan?
Absolutely not.
Under any circumstances.
Well, there's nothing for me on a cruise.
Well, the Predator franchise and, you know, Weyland-Yutani, all of that's just Disney stuff. So, like,
what if they... Weyland-Yutani-themed boat with Predators and aliens, with all of the crew dressed up as Predator and aliens, would be pretty cool.
Well, they wouldn't do the whole boat, because, like, right now what they do is they have, like, themed restaurants and lounges and stuff. So what you do is you have your themed restaurant, your Predator,
if they were able to make
restaurant.
The whole boat, like, look like the inside of the Nostromo, then you might have me. But no, I don't know if we're doing a themed restaurant.
No. Well, they tried to do immersive theming of hotels with... did you ever watch four-hour video?
Star Wars thing. I did not watch the four-hour Star Wars hotel thing.
I watched the whole thing. I mean, it was the pandemic. What else are you going to do? But I watched the whole thing. It's very funny, actually. But yeah, that was a terrible idea. Being trapped inside of... a lot of people are like, oh, I want to be like the main character in this thing and live in this universe. And it's like, you don't realize how garbage that experience would be if you were to actually...
Was it
like
a bad idea, or was it just that it was many thousands of dollars to be, you know, in a rainforest cafe, basically?
It was truly a bad idea, because there's no way to do it in a way that makes you feel special along with every other hotel guest.
You don't feel like a Luke Skywalker when you're on in a hotel full of Luke Skywalkers?
Yeah, you have a hard time. I think one of those things that people don't think about when they think about immersive stuff is like, you can't make everyone feel like they're the most important person. And that's the experience you're trying to offer to them.
But in 2026, everyone is the most important person in the world to themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about your lovely, beloved VR experiences. Like everyone wants to be center court, apparently, for everything. And it's like, how would that work? If everyone's seeing center court, then what's special about the center court experience? Like, and aren't you just, you know, like you aren't there with anyone. There's no one to enjoy that center court experience with you. You're just a disembodied nodal view.
That's what SharePlay's for. Yes.
So
I don't know. Movies and stuff.
What feedback do you think we're going to get? Do you think Todd is listening?
Oh, I bet he might.
Do you think he's still listening, or do you think he turned it off already?
Oh, he's definitely texted us at least 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Man, he's gonna be so mad.
He's not gonna make it all the way to the end before he texts us and says that we're wrong.
Yeah,
he's fine.
He is probably the biggest Predator franchise fan on Earth that I know in any context. And
well, he liked this one.
He really liked this one. And so if he's hearing us say this stuff, man, are we not going to get Christmas cards this year? That's, yeah.
Maybe he'll forget by the time December rolls around. Yeah, at least we're poo-pooing wrong people together. I was worried that I was going to be like, I don't know about this movie. And you're like, how could you not love it? It was such a unique take on the Predator franchise, and it all looked so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm relieved that I didn't have a miserable experience. It's not Alien.
Is that the best we can aim for these days?
No, it's not the best, but like,
I was worried I had lost the ability to feel joy. Well, so many people this, and I was just like, yeah, all right, that was fine.
Well, what I was really worried about is, remember our Snowpiercer episode?
Oh.
That's what I'm talking about, is like, I'm relieved I didn't hate it like that, because
were worried it was going to be another Defocused versus the World where everyone's like, what are you talking about? Snowpiercer is amazing. And we're like, go to hell and stay
yes,
there forever.
Exactly. It's just like, I don't know what to tell people, but like, I just have a different opinion. And if you love this movie and it speaks to you, or you just like the action and don't even care about anything else, then that's totally fine. And if you rated it 5 stars just because the action and you, that's enough, like, to get a 5-star from you, like, whatever, then live your life. It's your rating system. I don't care.
If you have low expectations about the world, that's fine for you.
Mm-hmm. I have low expectations about the world, but that's why I also rate everything low too.
I didn't give it a star rating on Letterboxd. I don't know if I will.
You have the courage.
I you know, I'm still trying to decide, because the craft of the movie is quite high. It's just it didn't arouse me in any sort of way. So I don't know.
The second time you've said arouse in this podcast.
I think it's important to note that a lot of these toxic masculine movies, not this one, but like the previous ones, exist solely to show big sweaty men fighting to make other sweaty men on Reddit horny.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. I don't generally like to put it in those terms, because as a gay man, it just sounds weird for me to say that. But yes, it is. It's long discussed. There's a lot of homoeroticism in toxic masculinity.
That's not specifically what I mean. I just mean people get really horny at the idea of being super buff and fighting aliens and defeating their enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
It's a good thing they don't let us make movies.
Oh, thank God. Like, as much as we like had our little notes session here, like if someone was like, okay, fine, you make a Predator movie, I'd be like, uh-oh.
No, it's fine. And I could see them going like, you know, oh, this is a new spin and it could be cool. Let's make it and see what happens. But like, you know, I don't know that I would have greenlit this. I would have just been like, that's not what Predator is. And it's like, well, it doesn't. Predator can be something different. We can make Predator whatever we want it to be because we own it. It does still feel a little, not to be mean, but like, it does feel a little Sony era. We own the IP. Let's just explore. Let's explore the space and see what happens. There are no bad ideas. There are no bad ideas as long as they make lots of money.
No bad ideas, only Badlands. Yeah. Let that fan mail roll in on this one. I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah.
Bye, Dan.
Oh, are we literally hanging up already?
No, this is the part where we end the show.
We don't say bye. Talking. We don't say bye. No. We just cut it off.
Okay, fine. Cut it off.
Cut it off.
Cut it off.
Cut off one head, two more shall appear or whatever, right?
No, cut off one head and it will stitch back on.
Yeah.
To after it sprouts tentacles.
Unless you freeze it first.
I don't want to think about that too hard.
I was waiting for it to reassemble. It never did.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.